please do your introduction?
I will. And our board is seen here. If you can, give me a little thumbs up. All right. And members of the public seen here. I have one, Adam Weinberg, but I don't have a picture, so I don't know if I'm just
recording in progress.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asked me to call the roll, indicate you are here, as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record.
All right, I call the September 20th, 2021 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Please, Lisa, call the roll and note the time.
Commissioner Boren?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Fobey?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here, permission to record.
And President Brooks?
Here, permission to record.
Moving
on to consent agenda items, A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want discussion on any item pulled from consent agenda items? All right, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented. So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Fobey? Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comment to 3 minutes per person. You can indicate by putting up your little waving hand. Okay, unless I'm not seeing something someone else is, then I believe nobody from the public has comments.
So we will... Adam just got off with mute. I don't know if Adam is having a computer problem.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be brief here, but once again, I would request that you correct the meeting minutes. It indicated that all community members were pleased with the design of the West School project. I believe I was the only one who spoke, and I was certainly not pleased with the design. I actually disagree with the project. I disagree with the way it's being done. I think it's inappropriate that Glencoe is seeking $400,000 under the OSLAD program at the expense of disadvantaged communities that rely on those funds. I don't think that there are needs for such a project, a $1.5 to $2 million project, of which expenses aren't even solidified and may end up going north. I take issue with the pictures that are being used to advocate for this program. They're taken, it seems like, amidst storms to make it look like the facilities are in much worse condition than they are. I actually think it's completely inappropriate and actually disgraceful the way this board is operating, trying to hide from our community the motives, objectives, and there's certainly no transparency, and that's evidenced by basically no one else attending these meetings. In fact, I haven't even been receiving notices of these meetings, such as the West School Project, yet you have me in your database because I receive all of your promotional items. In fact, 2 times for every promotional item. So I do think it's important to at least reflect this on the record and to correct the minutes that continue to be inaccurately represented. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from public that I can't see on here? Okay. All right. Then we will move on to approval of the appointment of Carol Spain to fill the vacancy on the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners. And I will move with the recommended motion. I entertain a motion to appoint Carol Spain to fill the vacancy on the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. By way of discussion, I would like to offer my thanks to all of the commissioners who were extremely helpful and cooperative and spending even more of their time on this particular process that we went through. I know I felt that at times it was quite awkward. I'm sure my fellow commissioners felt it was awkward at times as well, but they were always there to discuss it, and they helped look for people in the community, to encourage people in the community to apply. And we had, during the vetting process, which took place during this executive session, when we interviewed our final three candidates, I thought that the commissioners were really very professional and very thoughtful in the way we discussed those interviews. So a special thank you has to go to, oh, poor Bart Schneider. Thank you. He had to hit the ground running. He did what no one else, I'm sure, would have wanted to do, and that was take over the vetting process itself. So he used his experience as a caucus member to do a really exemplary job, a really appropriate for what this was, a thorough but not invasive process that gathered and garnered the information that really was useful for us and allowed us to make a thoughtful and considered decision. So, Bart, I hope I never have to ask you to do anything like that again. That was really outstanding. I enjoyed my conversations with you surrounding this. I will say I also had discussions with all the final candidates prior to our interview process. I also met with many community members who showed an interest but maybe decided not quite now. And I hope I convinced them that, first of all, I didn't lie to them about what this was. I was very transparent about what this role requires. But I hope I convinced them that what a satisfying kind of experience it is, and that they hopefully will be in the pipeline for future candidacies when they can go through the caucus party, which is more normal. I'll also close with saying I very much appreciate the democratic process. This convinced me how important it is for voters to decide. That is how it really should be. Unfortunately, in this case, we were left with a mini disaster that I think we navigated fairly well. So, on that note, would anyone else like to add anything to the discussion, or should we move the motion?
Actually, I'll just make one comment. I enjoyed, I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but I was happy to do the, some of the functions that the Village Nominating Committee has done. And my feeling is we went about it in the same depth and thoroughness that the Village Nominating Committee does. So I feel very comfortable with the way that we went through the process.
Well, I will say that makes me feel good, because you are the expert on the board with what that process entails. So thank you. Would any other commissioner like to add anything?
I'd just like to add that this is filling a two-year term until the next election. So Carol will be filling 2 years, and then hopefully we'll run again. So.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So, if there is nothing more, could I have someone move the motion?
Second.
Oh, I guess we did that already. Maybe I jumped in too fast. But that's okay.
That's okay.
You know, that's how we do things here. A little bit off. Okay, so now, roll call.
I just hit the,
You have to do what, please?
A roll call. You got it.
Okay, yes. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yeah.
Commissioner Covey?
Quick question. Why did I think that we did this in executive session, the vote?
We cannot do it. No, we never do it. Votes in executive session.
We don't.
We had discussion, but we didn't vote.
Got it. Yeah.
Mr. Schneider?
Yes.
And President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. So we will move to, Maddie, this is the big moment. Here we go. The oath of office for Ms. Carol Spain. Lisa Shepherd, as board secretary, will administer the oath of office to Carol. Take it away, Lisa.
Great. If you were here, I would have you put your hand on the Park District Code. Put your hand on whatever you have handy. All right. Ready? Yes. All right, raise your right hand. All right. Repeat after me. I, Carol Spain.
I, Carol Spain.
Having been selected to finish the term of office.
Having been selected to finish the term of office.
Of an elected Park District Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District.
Of an elected Park District Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District.
Cook County, Illinois.
Cook County, Illinois.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the Office of Park District Commissioner to the best of my ability.
The duties of the Office of Park Commissioner to the best of my ability.
All right, you're official.
Hey, thank you so much.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, thank you.
A pleasure is definitely ours. I did not say in my mistimed discussion that we feel incredibly fortunate that, we stumbled upon you or you stumbled upon us, but we couldn't be more thrilled and satisfied that the process brought you to us. So on that, we will move to financial report. 6 months of the fiscal year are complete. John will provide a synopsis of the report.
Great. Thank you, President Brooks, and good evening, everybody. So in your packet this evening, there are two reports, one for the month of July and one for the month of August, as we obviously did not have the August meeting in time to have the July information available at that point. Most of my discussion tonight is just going to focus primarily on the August results. Looking at the trend analysis, typically we would provide a three-year analysis. Due to COVID, you'll notice your packet does have 4 years, 2018 through 2021, broken out by the various departments. So I'll touch briefly on each. Rec department looks very strong. Obviously, last year was a COVID year, so that's why you see a big difference from 8/31/20 to 8/31/21. So the approximate $1.4 million surplus is more in line with pre-pandemic levels as of 8/31/19. The daycare department, now that does include an $86,000 grant in the revenues there. But besides that, daycare is obviously doing very well too, with a rather significant surplus at 8/31/20. Part of that analysis year over year is the grant funding in the prior year, and Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was received a little later last year, probably the November timeframe, and that total grant revenue in the prior year was $190,000. Right now we're looking at $89,000 in that number, but we also did receive some great news. Jess was able to provide us with some wonderful news that we are going to be getting an additional $65,000 in grant revenue related to the child care restoration grant. So that'll be hopefully coming in within the next couple months. So assuming nothing else changes, that'll put our grant revenue pretty consistent with prior year level, $150,000 in fiscal 22 compared to the $190,000 in fiscal 21. Fitness department is right near break even, not much to speak to from that perspective. Beach and boating, obviously the season's about wrapped up here, and it looks like we had just a fantastic year. $357,000 surplus for the two departments. So we will see some additional expenses come in for the rest of the fiscal year. Utilities, salaries, the general and admin allocation will come in for the next 6 months. But nonetheless, compared to what we were budgeted, we are going to really, really do well, it looks like, for the beach and boating department. So that looks very, very good. Watch department, not much to speak to at this time, obviously. Mainly just salaries and the G&A allocation is making up the expense amount that we have in there. Obviously, we've been ramped up there for the Houston within the next few months. The general and admin department, again, we're really in line with pre-pandemic levels as we take a look at that. Not too much to mention as it relates to G&A. Parks department, obviously Chris would be able to speak better to this. Some increased expenses this year compared to last year, which is in line with expectation. And then that final one down at the bottom, the rec and admin take-up department, just a few things I want to point out here. So we see revenues and expenditures are significantly less than prior year levels. The revenue side of things is the big chunk of that is property tax receipts. The second installment has not come in at all yet for fiscal 22 for this year. So that's going to equate to hopefully about $550,000. And also just bear in mind from an expense perspective, the $1.8 million compared to the approximate $1 million in 2022, the big difference there is we did not do any Fund 69 transfer in fiscal 22. And in the prior fiscal year, that amount was $850,000. So when you factor in those two items, it gets it a lot more consistent with where that department has been over the course of the past three to four years. You also do have a summary of our cash investment at the end of the month, and interest rates continue to be difficult, a difficult environment to work in right now. There was a new Senate bill passed at the beginning of August, which brought in the ability to invest in certain investments, specifically corporate bonds, which really isn't written into our investment policy yet, but certainly something we're taking a look at and working with our investment advisors to see what options we might have and what options we can present the board to determine the best course of action in this current interest rate environment. With that, I open it up to any questions that you all might have.
I have just one thing to say in regards to the child care grants. Just a reminder, because we have new people on the board, we use those child care grants just for Children's Circle, and that helps pay for the extra expenses that we are experiencing in that center, such as additional cleaning, software, vaccination, testing, testing for COVID, along with we have more liberal policy for any keep on paying teacher salaries should there be any closures in their room. So if they close their room, a teacher can't work, they get sick from COVID, from breakthrough case, or whatever it is, you're still paying their salaries in that. And those funds are coming directly from the grant. So we have not needed to do any kind of COVID surcharge to any of our parents for that program. We're using that grant money and just saving it so we can continue to do that until the pandemic stops. So just to give you an FYI on what we're using that fund for. It doesn't go into any general funds. It stays strictly in Children's Circle.
Was this a continuation of the one from last year? Like, was it another payment, or is it something new?
They appropriated $300 million additional funds for it. You may have seen in the news, I think it was last week, and they emailed us about a day later saying we're eligible. They also said that there's going to be some news coming because of the preschool teacher shortage. They funded some of the grants to be able to pay teachers directly to date as a bonus. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that will help the kind of devastated labor market in preschool right now. So stay tuned for that. We haven't got any details.
Yeah, that was an interesting
situation.
Yeah. Can I just have one additional question? On WAC, that expense number, does that include the cooling for repairs? Because we were way ahead before, so I'm assuming that that's the material price that was factored in.
That does not include any of the cooling for repairs. So when we did the analysis, the leak was small, and we're going to have to come back and check it again here in the fall. So we have no repairs in that operating budget right now.
So, because I feel like we're closer to, like, almost turning a profit.
That was last fiscal year.
Oh, that was last fiscal year.
So it reset March 1. Okay. So that was just at the end of the watch season.
Okay.
And revenues will be catching up with the expenses shown once we get into the WAC season.
Good question.
Okay, now I have one question I always ask this, and I always forget the right answer here. You guys always know it. I struggle to reconcile how, on whatever this page is, the second page of your thing, I struggle to reconcile how good everything looks sort of year over year. Rec programs are up 3x or 2.5x in terms of surplus. Every surplus that's there is higher than it was before, with one exception I noted. The G&A expenses are not up as much as the revenues. Like, if you look at the G&A is 588 versus 507,000. You're talking 15% increase. It just tells me that our fixed costs were pretty high, right, in 2019 or 2020. And then the rec admin, your revenue is down slightly, but your cost is down. Your revenue is down by a third, but your costs are down by half. How do I reconcile this sheet here with the fact that our cash burn is negative? Not negative, but our cash, there's less cash in our accounts now than we had before. Like, my brain doesn't work in government accounting methods, so I'm struggling with it. And I know there's the right answer, I can't figure it out. But if I look at it, if you were looking and say, oh, wow, your rec program, the surplus is over $1 million, and daycare year over year is over 200,000. Beach is over 300,000. And year over year, your G&A, parks, and rec admin are sort of combined all less, especially your rec admin, where last year you were in the hole by 843,000, now you're only in the hole by 156. How does this work?
Yeah, no, those are great questions, Commissioner Covey. And
by the way, we can do this over email later, but like, sure. As I was like, I don't understand where this surplus is.
Yeah, no, definitely those are some great questions. And specifically with the rec admin ticket department, there is a lot going on in there. That's why I did try to kind of point out a few of the more significant pieces, the mismatch with, the timing difference with the property tax receipts, the second installment there, and really the what's skewing that is that surplus transfer. And just keep in mind that this is capturing, I believe the intent of this format, this format is to capture the, operations in a simplistic manner, to be able to say, okay, here's how we're doing in this department, here's how we're doing in this department. We're not factoring in significant capital projects in this analysis, Fund 65, 67, the debt fund, or 69, the surplus fund. So that's not really, part of this specific analysis. A lot of varying factors going into it.
So what you're saying is, I recall, I want to summarize it. This is a 30,000 foot non-GAAP. Hey, look, here's how departments are doing. You go to the other page, you look and see, hey, look, here's where our cash balance was last year versus our cash balance this year. That is more of a GAAP kind of way of looking at it, because your cash balance is your cash balance. What we're missing is the capital expenses. And so we're heavily investing in capital over the past year, which makes sense because we got the bond, and we did Cock Park, and we finished the trail, and we finished Duke Park. But that's where I think I'm missing it. So, okay, that makes sense. It's always interesting to see.
Okay, does anyone else have any comments or questions for John? Okay, then we will move on. Thank you, John. That was actually, I really like that. Thank you. I liked your explanations. I appreciated it. And we will move on to the Executive Director report. Lisa Shepherd will review items in her report.
Excellent. So, Duke Park, Interactive Fountain has closed for the season after a very successful first season, just as time as it's starting to get cooler. And we will close the trains on October 29th, Friday, October 29th. there's no, not a coincidence that they're closing right before Halloween. So we're gonna pack those away for the season before the first snow and before any trick-or-treaters come out for that. So again, having a great season, and Chris keeps on telling us that those trains are getting more use than they ever have in history for anybody else who's had them. So you'll see next year we'll be budgeting for more trains or more parts and have them on hand so that we can take a train off, fix it, and have a new one out there before, so you can have them in rotation because of that need. And I was already, we have been having ongoing dialogue with the village about the crossing there. Old Green Bay tends to be a speed. People just fly down there. Not only cars, but also bicycles. Both are concerned. So we're taking a high-level look at how we can help. We put signs up this year. It worked out very well. But our fears are always that people get out of the car and their kids get out and we'll run across and without paying attention to their children. So just want you to know that it's not an easy solution, but we're working with the village on how we can do some kind of crosswalk there and where we should do it and things like that. So I just want to give you a heads up that we're looking at that with that very successful park. The Ravine Bluffs Park, as most of you know, is part of old Park 7N, but also where the Frank Lloyd Wright Cottage now sits. They have finished their exterior renovations. I'll be meeting out there with them next week, where we believe everything that we asked them to do has been completed. And then they would go into interior whenever they wanted to. Our contract, our lease agreement with them stipulated the outdoor of the building had to be done by a certain time. With COVID, a little bit longer, but if you've gone by there, it's looking great. So we're ready to close out that little project. I'm just going to go over really quick. We have started doing the budget process with the team, started looking at capital projects. We'll be bringing that back to the board for more discussions in committee about our, as you know, we've planned our 3-year capital plan every year. We look at it to see if anything has to be tweaked. So we'll be doing that early and then bringing it back to the board for that. We welcome Becky Moore, the district's first full-time HR manager, and just in time with all the new regulations and vaccine mandates and things like that. So she's hit the ground running and is doing a fantastic job. So we're excited to have on our team and the experience that she brings to that. Glencoe Beach closed for the season. It's another wonderful season. To note that we obviously had a new way of viewing the beach, and we'll be doing a survey out to all of our beach guest members in the community to see if they like that. Get more feedback about what we're going to do next summer. Overall, we've heard nothing but good things. Had record season cat sales. Kudos to Matt and Bobby and the whole aquatics team, because I always say that how we know if she's successful is that no one was seriously hurt. And when you think of Lake Mission, you think of the operations that we do, with boats out there, kayaks, paddleboard, swimming, it's a testament to their procedure and their safety protocol that we have not had any major injuries down there. So kudos to all of them. They also did a great job. What we've been hearing over and over, and Bobby can speak to this if you want, is that the community continues to want to bring us together, a sense of community in COVID. They're craving that. They're craving that way to get together in a safe environment. And the beach knocked it out of the park. They provided a lot of special events for beach pass holders, again, to add value to their beach passes, but also to bring our residents of Glencoe together in a safe environment. So they were very creative and came up with a lot of great events. So kudos to them as they do that. So you'll be seeing a full beach report in November. Finally, give them time to wrap it up, get everything cleaned up down there. So next month, you're going to get our camp report, and then the following month, you're going to get our beach report. So we're trying to schedule those out with plenty of time to get input before we plan for the next season. So Children's Circle, we continue to hire staff. We'll welcome two new full-time staff for our team, along with quite a few part-time staff. We had a lot of meetings because they meet with all of our administrative staff, myself, whether full or part-time. So we're happy to have them join the team. as Bobby alluded to, it's a struggle out there. As you probably know, if you go to any restaurant, you go any place to find staff. So we continue to look ways that we can incentivize and bring staff, and you'll see some of those recommendations when we get to budget season and how we can do that. But and we have started to incentivize financially to bring staff in using some of that that grant money that we receive. So that's really good. And ELC, again, our Half Day Preschool is off to a great start also. And they're excited to be back to building and exploring their classrooms and having a great time on the park, the playground. I'm not going to go over all this, but the other teams are doing great with outdoor sports and outdoor classes, moving things outdoors as much as possible, and trying to ramp up our normal programming. We finally opened Take Up back up to permanent renters, so they're starting to come back and use in our rooms in a safe way. So we have the New Trier Group, North Shore Congregation, Israel, other HAFCA using renting for long-term rentals. So, in addition, we continue to host blood drives, which we started at the beginning of the pandemic. That was probably at the first thing allowed in our building after we did a full facility closure. So we continue to make room to make sure that that program is continues to go. We have seen so many new park permits, and I equate it to our beautiful park system and all the money we have invested in all of our playgrounds. The old adage, if you build it, they will come, has been proven over and over and over again. It never got permits for Woodlawn, and now that place is back, or Shelton, or Duke Park, or now Pickup and Hawk Park. So staff has been, and people are filling out the permits. I think they're wanted with their birthday parties and family gatherings. Now they buy them. Staff has been a great job in all that. But it's been quite the big load, and I know Adam and Ann work on that and meeting our customers' needs for that too. I just want to talk a little bit about some of our special events coming up. We've had a couple. We've had National Night Out and Summer's Last Blast, which we talked a little bit about in committee. It was a great success. Everybody loved it. We are going to bring back very soon, probably in an October committee, a board meeting or workshop to talk about what we want to do for the 4th of July and the when we want to do our fireworks and talk about how that affects our beach operation. So look for that as an ongoing conversation, or maybe with our beach report to talk about that. We have the mud run coming up this or not this week. What day is that, Bobby?
October 2nd.
We have over 300 people kids signed up for that event already. We will be following all the guidance for outdoor festivals. There will still be our traditional mud run. We'll space the children out more, use guidance from the CDC and health department. They know about the events and work with that, but there's definitely a large group that wants to sign up for that, and we think we'll probably get end up being about 400. Talk about that a little bit. I think that's it. I mean, we've completed a lot of staff training. This week, staff is attending NRPA virtually, the department heads are, so we'll be in and out of the office or attending those sessions via the web. We also conducted a seasonal employee survey, which we do every year, and those results are in there in the board packet. We take those results and we talk with staff and see how we can improve in the areas, what areas we're doing well with, but we always want to look at how we do it just a little bit better to make the program even more spectacular, in my opinion, and a good experience for our large, young workforce. So. We did do a brochure, I'm sure you've all received it, where we put more QR codes in there. We just felt that was the way to go in the fall because we didn't know what the conditions would be like. We have heard from people that they really want our old brochure back, so we're going to try to accommodate that in winter. I get it. I'm the same way. I like to look at a catalog, and then I go online and order. I'd like to have that printed copy with more information. So. Erin is looking more in that direction again for winter, and with the ability to be able to change things if we have to, but I think we have this pretty much now. So, team, did I forget anything? Did you want to highlight? Do you have any questions for any of us?
Yeah,
question for Aaron. Aaron, when you redo the brochure, is this going to be a version of the old brochure that maybe is more informative about the classes but less specific, so that it requires an interested parent or an interested resident that they go online to get the detail of the class times and so forth, and that we're able to email them if things fall apart or whatever? Or is it going to be just the way it always was?
You know, that's a work in progress. It's looking like it's going to be more similar to what it used to be, using some QR codes for things that we know we can't define and we have to push them online. But I think for the most part, as much detail as we can get, we're going to try to do.
Okay.
I just looking at the QR codes of tracking it, it just didn't really get the traction I think we wanted it to get, which good that we can do that, have that data.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of our goals will still be to be very nimble and be able to pivot. I think our team's really good at that. So that's when we go into the next brochure. I want to make sure we still have the ability to do that, to meet the parents' needs if things should change. It's very important to us. So we'll continue to work hard.
I would like to say the QR codes were really successful when it was a really driving to buy a beach pass, buy a daily pass, those kind of things. So it's really needed more for a call to action, not looking so much as like get more information. So, and that's our application. It could be different.
It's really interesting. Can't predict these things.
Any other questions?
The tennis numbers.
Yeah.
Like, the 94-103 isn't that different in the revenue that's completely different.
The number of enrollees, you mean?
Well, no, like, so 94 were enrolled for 9,500, and 103 enrolled for 30,000. How is that possible?
It's got to do with how long the sessions are. So during the summer last year, it was a bad year to compare it to. Because of COVID, we had different lengths of sessions. So we're going with longer sessions now.
Okay. Makes sense. But I was just wondering, I was like, that's a drastic difference. So there has to be something.
It's now our largest program, athletics program. It's larger than basketball. Between that and pickleball, we're, I think, $150,000 worth of revenue in racket sports.
Yeah, great. My other question. This is just out of my own curiosity because it's my tempo. But what would North Shore rent space in Jacob? That's listed on the report. North Shore Foundation Israel?
Hakafa does.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be one-off rental. I'm not sure, not North Shore Congregation. They may have done a one-off rental, a big rental. So we.
It was listed as one of the. Like one of the consistent renters, so I just was curious.
They might do an annual rental.
Okay.
So Nutrier as well, they just had a very large rental. Nutrier, this traditionally, once a year they do it, which is, it was almost a $5,000 rental because they rent every single piece of available. So they may have had I'm not sure the actual vendor or whoever renter was.
Okay, I just thought it was a consistent.
Yeah. You did. You're right, something that was misleading. Our permanent renters are Congregatio Hafka, New Horizons Band, Our Place, Nutrier. And then our one-off rentals are like North Shore Congregation, Northwestern, Nutrier. Those are other lodges rentals that come in just once a year that we get to call it consistent because we do year after year, but I can see where you see that.
Okay. And then,
Boobash,
what's the thinking behind that? Is it more like years prior? Is it a mixture? Is it like
it's going to be outdoors.
For sure.
Likely going to be at a newly renovated park that's probably appropriate for an event like this.
So cock.
Yeah. So we want to maintain that community feel. We felt like that was missing last year. So we're trying to make it more, maybe a harvest fest at Cock Park, or maybe 3 or 4 years ago,
yeah.
But also safe and family oriented with trick-or-treating, but also some other activities. So we like to show off that great park.
Okay. That sounds good. Because last year's was, you know, it was what we had to do for the time.
Yeah.
But we're in a different place now, so that's good to hear.
So it's more like that, but it'll be outside, so it might be a little colder, but I think that's prudent for this year to do that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then one more question. I picked up today at Central, and there was, I don't know what was going on. My daughter said there was Red Bull Park District banners on these tables, and it was like this little event, so just wondering if anyone knew what that was.
The PTO at Central? The PTO does a new family welcome event.
Okay.
So we had our... Nate, our community engagement manager, and Stephanie, who does our youth program there, to represent and meet new families and explain all the great opportunities the park district offers.
And we do that every year, but usually it's held in our building. So we're kind of bringing them so they move outside.
And Stephanie, I love how your daughter is out there keeping her eyes open and reporting back. Your manager, so let her know. That's just because your daughter... is unbelievable.
She's disappointed that I did not have the answer. I was like, I have no idea. I don't know.
We're everywhere.
But I have an answer.
Like to be everywhere, right? Yeah, that's one of our best events to reach the new families in Glen Cove. So the school district does that, and they kind of do it for introduce everything that they have to go to the school. But they invited us back about 8 years ago to come to this event, and we're like, absolutely, because then these families understand what the park district is and our relationship with the school,
right?
Which is so phenomenal. So, you know, that's good to see that partnership.
How do those concession trucks financially do for us on July 4th? I know we're going to have a July 4th discussion later on, but just while it's so fresh in my mind, how do those do?
They were happy. They would like to come back in the future.
I meant financially happy.
They wouldn't tell us.
Yeah.
But you guys sold alcoholic beverages, didn't you?
So that, I think, John, 4,000.
We did that ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
That was successful?
Yeah. They keep those cards close to their chest.
Yeah.
Yes. We reached out to over 100 vendors, and we got 4.
Yeah.
Food trucks is a hot commodity right now, and very difficult to line up. So I would think that they made definitely $2,000 to $3,000 to $4,000.
Right.
They did well.
The reason why I'm asking for sort of a leading question, you mentioned this time and time again in the past, 30 minutes about how the community is thriving for events that bring people together. And I think, I know Carol, you're new, but for a lot of us, the concert that the PTO extensively put on was, from what I understand, at least my pulse in the community, was just phenomenal success. Lots of people. I don't think our COVID numbers changed because of it, which is good. But lots of people, and it was a nice time for people to get together outside. I'm sure there's a way to do this, or I think there's a way, you guys would know better, to do an event like that, like we had, 16 candles back in the day with the Grand Prix. But music brings people together. And I know we do it really well with the kids, but we don't do it as well with the masses. I mean, I think we do the Thursday night concert, but we don't do that kind of big bash thing. Now that we have Kauk, is there opportunities for the park district to dabble in this kind of a, is there opportunities, is there appetite, because it was our mission, to dabble in an annual event like that?
Well, we definitely could do something on a lower scale. It would be...
Not
the $250,000 fan that comes in, right? And they made, like, I don't know what they made, but didn't cover the cost, but it was donated, all donated. So if the board has the appetite to subsidize those events, I mean, a really good band is going for like $20,000 now or whatever with all the equipment you bring in and everything like that. That's definitely something absolutely we can do. The board would have to be okay with spending that money. I think this community really likes it. At first, there's more of an appetite, I just want to go to Virginia. And now they really want to hang out with their friends in the neighborhood, and we've proven ourselves. So We know for sure that our Thursday nights were very successful. We're in fact so successful, the farmer's market wants to come over by us and have the farmer's market there. So that's definitely something we can continue to investigate, bring back when we're doing the budget season to say if we added the XYZ amount of events like we did Labor Day at night. Obviously, fireworks are a big draw. We can't do that every event, but
I don't want to be an objective. I want it to be more of an I'm not saying we should bring in OAR or a band for that, but I'm saying, is there a way, or having a harvest event with a band, or having a home event as kind of a, you know, a lot of things we do are either geared towards families or young kids, but like something geared especially for adults.
Yeah, we definitely have, and something we've been talking about.
Yeah, we're going to take a fresh look this winter at our events now that, you know, Nate's on board. I will say, though, that so far the events targeted as kind of an older group rather than families, they haven't got the traction that the family events get. So we just had the fish boil, which we thought was going to sell out, which had 50 people, which, you know, was a nice number. But we were thinking it would be at least double that. So we are seeing family events very popular. But when we're seeing just targeted at 30 plus, we're not seeing the turnout. Maybe we haven't had the right offering yet. We're constantly evaluating, and I think with Nate, we're going to take a fresh look at things.
Yeah, he has a lot of experience with that because that was one of the things that we wanted to start targeting. And he has a lot of experience with festivals type offerings. So
I get heard from people time and time again that they want to make that, you know, the best annual. I think part of it was, you know, having a real professional, you know, band that people have heard of is probably a lot of the draw, but I don't even know of us.
Yeah.
If it's a mimic with another band, the 16 candles always did really well at work.
Yeah. And I know that I believe that they're planning on doing the donor is planning on doing that event again next year. So there's that.
Thank you. And to echo what you said about the beach, you know, yesterday there was an incident near Heavy. And so, like, I keep hearing about those things. So I think you're right, a successful beach season is one of many things, but the top priority is really safety. So way to go to Matt and the team with the lifeguards. Right, up in the way, either outside or kids that don't swim so well. So nice job.
Great job. Thank you. Any other questions? All right.
Okay, then we will. Okay. Are we moving in? Okay, action items. All right, so now, would any commissioner like to discuss the executive session minutes in closed session that I think we all received later in the afternoon? Would anyone have any discussion on that? And it's meant to be just a summary, by the way, not a verbatim, obviously, if you read them. Record. And one thing I will say here is that Carol was just sworn in. She was not around when we went into these executive sessions. So if you want to recuse yourself from voting on this, that makes absolute sense since you would not have any knowledge of what we're voting on. That's fine. And actually, I should also mention Bart was here for one of those two sessions. Is that right, Lisa?
Yeah, but we bundled them up in the motion.
Okay.
And we might not have enough commissioners to vote if he doesn't.
Okay, all right. So Bart, you're on. Okay, so I entertain a motion to approve and keep confidential executive session minutes from April 6, 2021, and approve and release the minutes from August 3, 2021. As mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2 C21 as presented.
Warren moved, second.
I will second it.
Okay.
Okay, now, is there any discussion on those minutes?
Okay. I have a question.
Oh,
yeah. Is there a parliamentary procedure way to recuse myself, or do I just not vote on things?
Yeah, you just say I recuse myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I abstain. Anything like that, yeah. When it comes to you, yeah. Good question.
Okay, so then we will move to roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey? Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Abstain.
And President Brooks?
Approved. Motion passes. Is there any other business? If so, Lisa, could you present that information?
Yes, there's no other business. Just a reminder that our next, our October committee meeting has been replaced with a board workshop with Carol Sente. So that will be in person, so that will not be remote. What we will do is, if anybody attends, which the public's allowed to, we'll set up a feed in different rooms so that we can make sure you guys are all distanced, and we'll have a matter of public, and then we'll go into the board workshop for October. So it's, I know it's all in your calendars. I sent it. It says in person, so I just want to remind you that that will be in person.
So the
board
workshop is a public meeting?
Anytime you guys are divided to five, you are, it is public meeting. So
okay.
It won't be very interesting for lay people, but you know.
And yeah.
Combined with three is public meetings, so Carol, don't reach out to me and text me at the same time.
Oh, don't worry, she's coming to training. Everybody here has had my training. That takes like 3 days. I'll teach y'all that.
What is the date of that? I don't think I have it in my calendar.
It's Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, so Tuesday, October 5th.
Yeah.
Check here. Make sure you do.
It's the 5th.
Yep, I did send it to you. It's the 5th from 6 p.m. to 8:30. Here at Tega.
I'm out of town.
Jenny Wunkel knows you got to put that in my work calendar because I am.
It's here. I sent it to you guys. I sent it to you a long time ago.
Yeah. If it doesn't go on my work calendar, it doesn't exist. Like, I'm sorry. It has to go on my work calendar. I apologize, but it has to.
Yeah.
Well, this one can't be done remotely, Lisa. So.
The schedule.
Okay, so we have rescheduled a couple times. I'm not sure if, I mean, Carol is the person who is running this workshop is coming from elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So there's probably travel arrangements involved with this.
She lives local, but, local, but.
Okay, all right, I didn't know that. I was thinking of the woman who was going to do it. Right, we've been working on this for so long.
All right. Well, I will contact her and see if we can set it up. If I set it up for November 2nd or November committee meeting, would you be able to do that?
November 2nd, I am in. I could do. If we move to a Monday night, I'm here every Monday night. Tuesdays, I guess some travel coming up. But I could do it Monday the 4th if that works for others.
That doesn't work for me on the 4th.
Okay.
I mean, I could do November. I could do the 1st or 2nd of November.
November 1st, does that work for everybody?
That works for me.
I am here and will come with bells on.
Okay, I'm going to contact Carol and to see if she's able to move it. And we had it starting at
6.
6? So, 6 o'clock. All right. And then I will tell you, I have to talk to staff to see if we'll rearrange stuff for that committee meeting, if we'll just cancel it or if we'll have it remotely. But
I'm putting it in my calendar now, but I don't know if Carol is Spain. I don't know if Carol's name for you. I live by one calendar, so my advice is ask them to put into your calendar to do the same thing, because I can't do it at Glenville Park with the calendar to do things, so I apologize. But I'm putting Carol in for the first from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.?
No, 8:30 p.m.
8:30 p.m. So no one can book.
Okay. And I'll let you know, I know she's at NRPA, so I don't know if she'll return my text right away, but I'll let her know.
And I'm okay. Assuming November 1st, that Monday is replacing the Tuesday meeting.
Correct.
So it's going to be two in a row.
Right. We would not do, no, it's a very good question. We would not do November 2nd then.
And I won't be traveling until 2022, so
okay.
No worries here.
Okay. So Stephanie, you're good for November 1st?
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what I can do.
Okay.
Oh. That's all I have. That's all I have.
Okay, and I believe we are not going into executive session.
We do not have to go to executive session, correct.
Okay, well, this was a quick meeting, and very well. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I just have one question.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that the TJ came in, and I was on, and I was just wondering if she was just listening, or was there going to be a presentation or anything?
They did not inform me to put anything on the agenda, so I'm guessing they're just listening, which they sometimes do. So is that correct, Ann Lee? I didn't know you were coming, or I would have introduced you.
No, that's okay. I'm just listening. Normally our meetings coincide with your meetings on Tuesday, but considering this was a Monday, I thought I would take the opportunity to jump on. Sorry, I've been multitasking with my kids in the background. So I just wanted to say hi and introduce myself and say thank you.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Welcome, Natalie. I hope you come back another time.
Me too.
What we're doing right now, it's going to be off the record. Not off the record, but not on the agenda.
Yes.
Yeah. I will tell you that I walked by the Blue Cottage. It is spectacularly done. It is incredibly beautiful. I think at night, the small lights there are really, really nice and designed to probably keep people away from it. Have we heard any feedback at all on this?
Because
it just looks great.
Just what I reported earlier is that they are finished with their outdoor renovations. I have heard nothing from the neighbors, both pro or con. So that is good. I think which means they're happy because I would hear about it otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Which I'm very happy about. So.
It was good. It was great.
Yeah.
I know we had to attend. I'm a little bit nervous.
It does. I'm very pleased with the outcome. So, and Chris is a big thank you to Chris for working through some of the landscape issues with them and things like that. So.
Yeah, the landscape is really good. I mean, some of the grass is a little.
Well, we were kind of in a drought for a while there, so you know,
no,
it's hard.
It looks better than before.
Yeah.
Flooding issues. I haven't seen any flooding issues at all.
No. But again, we haven't had the torrential rain go down for us, so.
We have the Rosh Hashanah week.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Okay, does anyone else can I ask?
Yeah, I'll ask a question.
Sure, Kim.
So just following up on the last meeting, I understand that there was some interest from the Children's Circle family and Parent Advisory Committee. Is that happening, and what is the response then to the vote 2 weeks ago?
So that we did have, for when we did a survey, we had 33 parents reach out say they want to be the committee. That's not held monthly, that's more of a quarterly thing. Commissioner Boron's our liaison for that committee. So I don't know if we have an update on when that meeting will be scheduled.
I was thinking it will be in November. So we did want to send out an annual survey to Children's Circle. Obviously, we just surveyed them for the whole COVID discussion. So we wanted to separate those surveys a little bit because the goal of the committee is not to discuss just the issue we just went through. It's generally direction of early childhood programs from our half-day preschool to full-day preschool Children's Circle and enrichment. So we would like to get a survey out on the program itself rather than COVID-related issues. And then review those with the advisory group. So we're thinking November. We have a WATS advisory group coming up here at the end of the month. So we're gonna. It will be before the end of the year. And normally we try to do them every, 3 to 6 months instead. So November will be the target. Should face the Commissioner Boron on time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. To answer your other question, we have had, I haven't had any negative feedback about our decision. Actually, very pleased with our decision overall with the parents, so that's good. And as far as staffing, we've just started rolling out compliance, but so far, a majority of our staff are going to get vaccinated, so to meet the rest, to meet our vaccine policy. So we haven't lost any staff because of that. So that's good too.
Is it too early to know if it's helping with recruiting? Do you think it'll have an impact on helping recruit staff?
Helping, good or bad?
Helping or hurting? Yes.
Helping, hurting. No, it's too early to tell. Anybody that came in the last, before it was passed, we're told that we were looking at that. And I believe there was one that did not come to us because of that. So that's okay. You know, so far we don't know, but we'll keep you posted on that. We did hire we're quite a few staff, so we are better staff than we were even 2 weeks ago. So
that's great.
We put some incentives in there, like refer a friend, you get some money, so that seems to be very, and if you stay a certain amount of time, we're having a lot of turnover, they'd be here like 3 months and then turnover, so they have to stay for a certain amount of time. That seems to be very well received by our current staff and our new staff, so. Good question.
Good, thank you.
Any other last minute comments or thoughts? Okay. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I guess we had our discussion. So, yeah. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yeah.
Commissioner Puppy?
Yeah.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yeah.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes.